your financial situations, whether you're winning or whether you're losing, it begins with your mind. All right? Now, it also begins with your mind, but it also begins with the lessons that you've learned through life about money. Who is the person that taught you how to handle money? Amen. Right? That's the bottom line right there. So when you find out that question, anybody go back and explore that and say, well, you know what? My mom taught me, or, you know, or nobody taught me, or, hey, man, I just, when I got that money, I was just happy. I thought it was mine all the time, right? And so, yeah, so this is what it is, right? So what I'm trying to do is to help you, not trying, what I'm doing is helping you as a church, as a people, to come to a place in life where you are winning with your finances, all right? More money does not make your life, well, let me see how I'm gonna put it. Because some of you are like, no, money make me, more money will make me happier, you know? And that brings me to my third point. Amen. So if money makes you happy, and where you're sitting right now in God's presence is not making you happier, then there's an emotional connection to money. And I told you last week that you have to have a breakup with money. All right? And we'll look at this tonight. We'll look at some stuff tonight. Last week we came down to the point where we understood, we said that the earth is the Lord's, right? The fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. So I have a little strategy that I want to look at tonight. So in order to solve the root cause, we got to get down to our thinking. So I want you to open your Bibles now to the book of Hebrews. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. It's first finding out, in essence, your thinking about it. All right, now here's the deal. Your thoughts about money, you ever notice that it invades your mind? Like it takes up a lot of your thought space. And that's not for all of us, but remember, before you make a decision, you always think about how much money you got versus how much faith you got. Come on, help me somebody. All right, so you say, oh, no, I can't do that because I don't have enough money, but where's your faith? All right, so we speak those things that are not as if they are. That's faith, all right? So if you say, you know what, I want to do something. I want to accomplish something this year. And you're like, well, I can't see my way out. I'm strapped. And I believe that it begins with your thought pattern. All right? Hebrews chapter 13 and what? Verse 5. What does it say there? Make sure. There it is. Now, what do you think character means? That's that non-material part of you that watch this, that has been shaped your whole life. Oh, come on, help me somebody. It was shaped by your parents, and it was shaped by your schools. It was shaped by your community. It was shaped that way. And as a result of that, what happens now is your character, Jesus, the writer is saying, make sure that your character, it's interesting when you do a search about money in the Bible, you'll see a reference to it always with the word love. I find it very interesting. I find it very interesting that in the same context as money, you have love. So what does that mean? That means that money is in competition for your heart. Come on, help me somebody. This is why Jesus says you can't love two. It's hard to love money and love God. Now, is it all right to have money? Yes. But in order for you not to become so emotionally unstable with money, you have to break up with it. You have to have an emotional breakup. Emotional breakup. I'm going to say it one more time. You say, how did I do that? I'm getting to that. What does Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 say? It says what? Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Here's the next word. Being what? Being what? Content. Now, let me explain to you about this. Content does not mean complacent. Content does not mean complaining. Come on, help me. Content does not mean that you will never have again. But content here in the Greek, the word simply means enough. Sufficient. Here's what happens to us. We have enough, but we're still chasing after more. But we're neglecting the enough, not thinking about nurturing that, growing that, because we're always chasing after more. Lord have mercy. If you take every dollar you have and you give it a name, you'll find out that you have exactly enough to take care of your life, your livelihood, and have a little fun in the process of doing that. Do I have anybody? God is not unfair. God knows you and I, but this is the, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a definition here in a minute, because we have to understand that the moment you have a breakup with money, you'll win. And here's how you have a breakup. You ready? You have to believe and say to yourself, this is not my money. Come on, help me, somebody. You got to say, this is not my car. This is not my house. This is not my clothes. Because everything you have right now, if you were to close your eyes right now, somebody of goodwill is going to be buying it. They're going to be wearing your shoes, driving your car. Oh, yeah, I promise you. Listen, there's nothing you can take with you. But it's amazing how Satan has us trapped in a mindset of scarcity where we're not content. Why do you think the advertisers do this? You go to the store, right? You go to Kroger. 10 for $10. You were only going there to spend $1, but you're like, 10 for $10, that's a great deal. You're not thinking about, well, now watch this, but check this out. Let me show you a strategy now, right? But at home, you already got 10. You may have cooked one ramen noodle out of that. You may have taken one package and cooked it, but you still got 9 at home. But see, marketing, it's designed to work with your emotions, but also keep you in a position of fear. That's where in economics, when I teach biblical economics, I teach my students, and there's a word that I teach them, a vocabulary word, it's called scarcity. The market creates scarcity so that you will buy. For instance, we're running out of gas. It's about to rain. Oh, don't let it rain in Houston. Now, I believe anyways, I'm going to keep my thoughts on that. So here's the thing, right? We're going to have a storm. It's coming. It's tomorrow. It's going to be here. I can't come to church. I got to go get about 12 cases of water. I got to go 12 cases. And it's like your mind just goes into scarcity mode. Like, I'll never drink water again. Then after tomorrow comes, no rain, sun is shining, and here you are. You got 12 cases of water. And then next week you go back and they got two cases for $15. You're like, well, let me get them two cases too. And if you look at your life, if you look at your closet, if you look at your cupboards, if you look, you will realize that you are a hoarder and not a steward. You got so much stuff that you can start your own online store. Come on, help me, somebody. All right? So watch this. So contentment means what? What is it? It means what? Enough. Here's another word for the word content. Sufficient. Now, God is able. God is so powerful. But see, we don't. Again, it goes back to who taught you about money. So here's the deal. God knows everything about you. Lord have mercy. So why do we panic? Trust. Right? It's a trust issue. Because if we're asking you to do something by faith, the first thing you're looking at is what you can't do. Your mind is already programmed to go to the negative. Lord have mercy. Your mind is already programmed to think the worst case scenario before you think the best case scenario. Are you with me? Look what he says. He says, being content with what you have. Now, you ready? I'm going to dig this out right quick. For he himself has said, who has said? Huh? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you believe the word? Like, you believe the Bible is true. Like, there's no errors in it. Right? It was written by man, but man inspired by God. Now, the believer has to take the word of God now by faith. So, let me ask you a question. Which Bible you been using to live your life? Second question. Which Bible have you been using to manage your money? Matter of fact, let me ask another question. Where did you get instructions about money? You got to go back to the what? The source. If you're going to root out your problems financially, go back to the source. Sometimes I think myself, And I have these thoughts. This is how I was raised. I was raised in a group home, shelter. So my mindset has always been this. So at 5 o'clock, it was dinner. At 8 o'clock, it was lights out. And there wasn't no going to the kitchen when I felt like it. And so I grew up like that. And even now, as a grown man, there are times where I still hesitate because that's how I was raised in a situation like that. I didn't have less. I didn't have more. But I had enough. Are you following me? But you got to be careful with that mindset like that, because watch this. You can limit yourself because you've already put these limitations on yourself and restraints on yourself because of your upbringing. Are you following me? Now, don't let the baby distract y'all. Just stay focused. Come on, y'all. Who's he, the cute? Okay, pay attention to me. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. All right, okay, right? So the... I told we have the attention span of a goldfish. That's 8 seconds. That's why I move around. So you don't get bored. Okay? But here's the thing. God's trying to help you. Don't worry about her. She's going to be all right. You can play with her after church. Okay? But check it out. Check it out now. Check it out. He says that, for he himself has said, I will never what? Now, let me ask the question. Well, let's talk about dessert first. Not dessert. All right? What does that mean? To leave. But isn't that what we think? We go through a financial situation. We have a transition. Maybe we lost our jobs or whatever the case may be. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, I'm going back to where I was. So you panic. I'm going to say it one more time. What do? You panic. And why do you panic? Because you somehow don't believe that God will never, what? Desert you. I ain't got to the next point yet. Okay? That word desert means unfastened. Imagine that. The Greek writer is saying that God will never unfasten himself from you. The other part of that word means to let loose, to let up on. Folk will let up on you. Folk will let you go. So the root cause to your financial problems is because you don't believe that God is going to stay with you. So what do? You hold on to it tight, you tight fist. All right? But if your hands are closed, what can God put in there? Are you following me? Huh? All right, watch this. Now some of your hands are open, but your mindset is scarcity. Your mindset is God is finna leave me. We ain't gonna be able to pay this rent. And it's imagine this. We go through this mindset all month long, and then when the end of the month comes, we pay our bills. So can I ask you a question? What was you doing that for? Amen? All right. So y'all got the heat on in here. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm the one sweating up here. And I'm saying, I'm working hard because the heat is on. Okay, all right. I don't know who did that, but here we go. Here we go. Ready? Not only Who's saying it? God said, I don't need nobody to speak for me. I'm going to say it myself. Write this scripture down. Put it on your mirror. Put it somewhere. Put it in your pocketbook, in your wallet. He says, I will what? I will never. He himself says, I will. You know, when God says never, what does never mean? Well, let me just ask a question real quick. How many of you can say you've seen this passage in your life come alive? Huh? Anybody? Oh, just a few of y'all. So I guess God is not good to his word. Only a few of you? You just being shy? You don't want to raise your hand? Okay, let me see. This is participation time. Okay, we done got distraction time out the way. Let's get participation time. Ready? Okay, children, let's do it again. How many of you can say that God has never deserted you? Okay, that's better. Whoo, Lord, I'm about to take my jacket off. I said, what's going on in here? Like, am I in the right place? Now, let me ask you a question. If God has a record in your life, a God file. Why do we trip when things start getting scarce? When life starts, it's because we really haven't taken this scripture to heart. And we haven't really stood on the promise of this scripture. So God has conditional promises and unconditional promises. This promise is a what? No, this is conditional. This is based on what you do. What does it say? Make sure that, who's responsible for that? I got one verse breakdown today. Come on. Look. Make sure that your character is, when your character is free from the love of money, then you will have clarity to see that God will never, ever desert you. And we just got to the desert part. Watch this. What's the last part of that verse? Oh, go back. No, what you know? Nor will I. Come on, let's take a bird. Let's look at, yeah, go ahead and give me that kind of look at it. He says what? I will what? What does ever and never mean? Let's talk a little bit. Why do we struggle with money with God? Like, why? Anybody want this interact? Now it's this interactive time now. I got to lead y'all into the Bible study. Okay, so let me give you the rebuttal for that. Okay, so you won't have it when you need it, but he says he would what? Let me ask you this. Do you believe God's word? God's word says, I will never, ever, never, ever. But I don't think I'll have it when I need it. What did you say? You said something? Fear? You said fear? Okay, fear. But this dispels fear. Never, ever is a comforting feeling. Any of you have that assurance? We're relying on ourselves more than we are relying on God, but he says never what? Ever. Huh? It hasn't gotten in our hearts, or maybe the love relationship that you have with him ain't what you think it'd be. That's Ebonics. Because if you love him, you will believe that money can't have your heart first. But that's not the case with us. Whoever has first place in your life will be the person that dominates you. But he says, I will never, ever desert you. You know what the word forsake means? Abandon. To abandon you. Man, the root cause to my financial problems, I found out, is I was so in love with money. And I was trying to love God at the same time. But let me show you how money do you. Here's how money and love works together. Money never gives you anything back. It gives you what you need. But it doesn't, it gives you what you want, but it never really gives you full satisfaction back. Because money is temporary. But God says, I will never, ever, hold those two words together. Put them up in your vocabulary part of your heart. And I want you to believe this about God. God says in his word in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he will never, ever desert me, nor what? Or what? All right. Go to this scripture. All right, go to Matthew chapter 25 for me. All right, I got a few minutes left. 25, and let's go to verse, this has been in my heart all day. This is what the Lord has been showing me. All day he's been showing me this scripture right here. Let's look at verse 14. It says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey. Now, contextually, let me tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. So context-wise, all right, you need to get the context before you take the text and say, you know, my God will supply all my needs and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored. That ain't for you. That's for Mary. Okay? That ain't for you. So you may as well stop saying that. Where two or three or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That's in the context of discipline. This is in context of waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that it's, look at the parable that Jesus uses to illustrate a point as important as you and I waiting for his return. He uses what? The bag. He does. Check him out. He says, for it is like a man who about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves. And what did he do? He entrusted what? Okay, so this is what you call, write this word down. Stewardship. Write it down. What is it? I'm going to quiz you tomorrow, next week. All right? I'm coming down each aisle. I got a picture. I got a video. Who's here? Yeah. I think I'm playing. Right. Let me write this word down. Stewardship. What is stewardship? Write this down. Stewardship is our management of God's temporal, earthly resources in general, and finances in particular with which he has entrusted you with. Stewardship is the management of God's temporal earthly resources. Right? When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden. And he says what? Have dominion over it. Right? This is yours. Okay? It's yours to steward, to manage. It's not yours to own. Okay. This word stewardship is not for unbelievers. They'll never understand this. So if you're not a believer in Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this word will mean nothing to you. Stewardship is you managing what God puts in your life. Your car, your house, your clothes, inside your car, your closets, your body, It's a stewardship because you don't own it. You and I don't own anything. But God entrusts everything you have in your possession. God says, I know how much you can handle, so here. That's why everybody in here are in different brackets in life. Because God knows how much to give you. God knows how much to give you. God knows how much to give you. God knows, because God knows if I give you more, you're going to lose your mind. You, matter of fact, you're not even taking care of the thing you have now. So it's the management of what? The earthly resources and also the finances in particular with which he entrusts you with. Okay? Now, he entrusts you with these temporal things so that we can accomplish his eternal things. Oh Lord Jesus. This is why when in the Lord's Prayer it says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Right? Then he says, but he also says, not my will be done, but your will be done where? In heaven and on earth. So we are all entrusted with temporal things for an eternal purpose. Lord have mercy. God didn't give you promotion just because he wanted you to get praises. He gave you a promotion so that you can funnel those resources into his kingdom so that the kingdom can keep going. That's why God blesses you. God entrusted to you because he knew that you can be trusted. Got it? Watch this. He entrusts his possessions to him. The one he gave 5 talents, and to another what? 2. And another 1. So what do we have? We got 5, we got 2, and we got 1. Now watch this. All of you have been given a number. Thank you for my number, Lord. Now, watch this. You know why that window that is broken in your car is won't go down, and you just accepted it for what it is right now, and you're like, just like, dude, whenever I get the money. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I know about them real life situations. You understand what I'm saying? The reason why you keep putting WD-40 in your in your whatever, you understand what I'm saying? You keep trying to lube it up and just kind of patch it up and that kind of stuff, and then you figure it like, oh yeah, I'll get to it one day. One day turn into 2 years, and 2 years turn into 4 years, and now you're accustomed entering your car on the other side. Because not only does the window break now, but the lock switch is broken down. And so you got to go through the passenger side, and you've accepted this as normal. I wish I had a few people here who can relate to what I'm talking about right here. You've accepted it like that's it, that's me. Cause good, look, I only got 1 talent. I wish I had 5 though. You ever notice a person with what they have, they always looking at what somebody else has, wanting what they have, but never looking at what they have to see the potential in what they have to realize that they can take what they have and, here's a word, multiplication. Watch this. Watch what he says. He says, okay, it's verse 16. It says, immediately, the one who had received what? 5 talents, what did he do? He went, and what did he do, y'all? He traded with them And what did he get? If you're going to win with money, you got to know where to put your money. We get paid and we don't save and we don't invest. I'm sorry. We don't give, we don't save, and we don't invest. The first thing that has to come out your check is your tithe. That's gross, not net. Not after they took all the other stuff out. Because the first belongs to God. Watch this. I believe that some of you here can win with money, and I'm talking about elevate to another levels. I'm talking about God can take what you have and show you the vehicle to put it in if you put him first. Watch this. What did he do? He went, he took it, and he gained. Isn't that what we all want? But we hesitate because of fear. We don't believe in the never ever. I'm going to get a shirt that just say never ever, and y'all understand what I'm talking about. Never ever. Never. Oh, y'all forgot that? Never ever. Never what? He'll desert you or what? Forsake you. In the context of what? Stop loving money and being content with what you have. But watch what he says. The text says, look what he says. It says, in the same manner, the one who had received two talents, what did he do? He gained what? How did he gain more? How many want increase? We talked about this is a year of increase. Here's the thing. It is a year of increase, but if you ain't doing nothing, ain't nothing going to increase. You're going to keep talking increase, but you'll never see increase because your faith is not there to sow. Are y'all following me? Here I'm going now. Maybe I'm just hype about this. I don't know. But look what he says. Now, look at verse 18. Lord have mercy. Now, there's a lot of implications about the guy with the one. See, you may not have what I have, and I may not have what you have, but I got something. People say, I don't have the money to tithe. That's not a true statement. You have the tithe. You just ain't spending. You're just not giving it to God. You've always had it. It's not giving it to God. That's just still. It's not that you don't have it. You had it past tense. Now look. You look at your one. Right? One. And you're saying, man, she got five. But you're not paying attention to your one. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. You're looking at the one who got two, and you're like, well, now they got four. And then they're saying, well, okay, let me see if I can get that one from you. Let me show you how I did mine. It's a multi-level marketing situation. You get 10 people, right? It's amazing how these multi-level marketing companies can take your time, your talents, your energy, all of it, and suck you into an idea. And guess what? You ain't never made no money. Matter of fact, they took your one and left you with the bag. Watch this. Text says what? It says, but the one that received one talent, what did he do, y'all? What did he do? Let me make this a little bit more plain to you. That section in your purse where you keep the money. That place in your wallet where you tuck it away. And nobody knows where it is. What I'm saying is, the text says he dug a hole. And what did he do? He dug a hole in the ground. But you got to catch it. You got to catch the end of that verse. Because this is what I'm trying to say to you. With the 2 minutes I got left, it was never his money. It's not your money. Stop saying it's yours. That car you're driving, it's not yours. Now, how you take care of that car, it's your stewardship. Get the window fixed. Do what you got to do. Wash it. Clean it up. Uh-oh. Must have hit a nerve there or something. Watch this. Watch this. Look at the next part of this verse. Oh, no. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Look at that. He hid his master's money. Go on. Now, after what? Saints, my question to you is, how long? Now, the context is waiting for Jesus to come back. And the context tonight is, he is coming back. So what God has entrusted you with, I'm talking about your time, your talent, and your treasures. May I ask you a question? What you doing with it? Some of you are okay hiding. You show up for church and you just leave. Some of you are taking your talents and you're putting it in the kingdom and you're serving and you're finding your purpose again and you're finding joy. But if you're just hiding your gifts, how can God bless you? It's a very interesting point, isn't it? Look what he says. He says that that day came. See, here's the thing. We didn't start winning with money until we understand the urgency of why we needed to win in money, with money. Because we were just all right. We were just good with being all right. Content, complacent. So watch this, but look what it says. It says, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came to do what? Oh, there's going to be a day where you and I will have to stand before God and give an account for everything that he so entrusted you with. What is stewardship? You are just a manager. And when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, yo. He ain't going to say, yo, maybe. He's going to say, hey, all right. I gave you that car. What'd you do with it? Gave you all those gifts. What'd you do with it? Well, I build buildings and I made stuff and I help the poor. That's the first place we're going to go. I gave towards the children's clothes. He's going to say, you wasn't such a good manager. So if you're going to win with money and you're going to get down to the root cause, write this down. Ready? You have to be a better manager. So you got to make up in your mind tonight. And I'm not just managing my money. I'm managing my household. I'm going to get stuff fixed that's been broke for years that you keep putting off. But if I look at your eating out bill for last month, you could have bought that thing 15 times over already. You know somebody. You probably could have moved into a new house. No. He came to settle accounts, right? It says, the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents. Say, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said, well done, you good. And what? So circle that word in your Bible or highlight it. That's what we must do to master it. Be faithful. Don't be forgetful. Faithful. You were faithful with what? With a what? Listen, a billionaire doesn't start off a billionaire. A billionaire does start off where we are, with a few things. And then he entrusted to God. Then all of a sudden, God puts you in the right places. You know how people get to the top? It's not just working hard is one thing, but it's connections, it's favor. It's God divine appointments and God positioning you with the right people. And all of a sudden, you're elevated to another tax bracket. Simply because you were what? Faithful. Watch me. But you were faithful with what you had. Instagram, Facebook will cause you to take your eyes off your one and keep looking at the one who got five, who got 20. Oh, look how they living. And if you really look at that picture, you'll see sadness and pain because it's all photoshopped. Watch what he says. His master said, well done, you what? You've been faithful for you. I will put you what? In charge of what? See? There's a principle here to win with money. You cannot get more if you haven't proven that you can take care of the little. And if you're faithful with the little. If you want an increase in paycheck this year, you have to be faithful with the little. And God in the same year will entrust, will put you in charge. Now watch what he says. He went from entrusting to putting him in charge. Now he's the boss. But he's not really the boss because he understands that even with him being in charge, he knows who owns it. Watch the text. The one who had received two talents came and said, Master, you've entrusted me what? With two talents? See? I've gained two more talents. The master said to him, well done. You good and faithful, save. You were faithful with what? A few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Verse 24. And to the one also who had received one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. This is what we think about God. That he will leave me. Lord have mercy. And he will forsake me. So if I take my little one and I give it back or I put it in something, I ain't going to get it back because my God is not faithful. God is unfair. Listen, if you give only what you can, you haven't given. Hello, somebody. You got to give what is right. Because what you can is according to your ability. It's not according to the God that you say, that you shouting about, that you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Watch this. He says, what did he say? He says, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Now, this is a negative mindset. When I first, when my seminary professor explained this passage to me, in essence, he was saying that what people think about God, he's hard. He expects more, and he doesn't give. I just give my life to Jesus Christ. I just did the right thing, and then look at my life now. That's a test. The reason you're going through is you're going through initiation. Because what God is doing, he's testing you to see if you're the real deal. So that he will bless you later on. But you got to go through the process in order to get progress. Come on, help me somebody. Watch what he says. And I'm going to close. He says here, and I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, You have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, imagine that's how God sees us when we're not faithful, when we're not really willing to take a chance, a risk, to walk by faith. He says, you wicked and lazy slave. He said, you're lazy. You should have gotten up and did something. All you want to do is sleep. And you think that I just keep what you gave me and then I just give you back. God doesn't want back what he gave you. He wants what he gave you back with interest on it. He wants you to increase so that when you stand before him, he will say, you've been faithful. Look what he says, though. Look what he says. He says, you wicked slave. He says, you know I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Verse 27, then you ought to have put money principles. See, the talents was always money. Let me ask you something. What are you doing with your five, your two, and your ones? Watch what he says. He says, you should have just put the money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received what? My money back. With what? Interest. He wasn't even trusting enough to put it in the bank and gain interest. Because he believed that he would always live a life of lack. So he played it safe. Matter of fact, he didn't even play it safe. He hid it and he lived just a life that was not fruitful because he didn't trust God. He says, therefore, take away what? The talent from him and give it to the one who has what? Imagine that. Now you got 11. For to everyone who has, more shall be what? Wonder why we're not getting? Because we ain't getting no more. God says, how can I give you more if you can't handle what you have? Watch what he says. He says, and he will have what? And he will have what? How many want abundance? But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be what? Taken away from him. And that's why we feel like we're on the losing end. Because we're not taking the talents and we're not managing it, multiplying it, and giving God glory with it. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. And tonight, if you have any questions tonight or comments tonight, amen, we will take those now in Bible study. That's how we do it. Anybody got any questions? Amen. Any clarifications? Amen. Or comments tonight? Amen. We want to get that from you tonight. Amen. Amen. Sure. No, there's no crazy question because it's a question that somebody probably need to ask. You're not putting it where it's gonna grow, so you have to what's called redirect your finances. You have to give every dollar a name and redirect it into where it will grow. You know, food is not going to grow you. It's going to grow you all right. Yeah, some of you love, your stomach love you, man. I promise you. But you don't plan it out. You just love to eat out. You love to eat. You just love to eat. And when you look at your checking account or bank account at the end of the month, it's there. It's a fact. And some of you don't like to eat, you just don't like to do nothing. So you're the one that just holds on to it, and it ain't growing, it ain't multiplying, it ain't doing nothing. You just have money for security. That's that emotional breakup I'm talking about. But until you have that, listen, whether you have a dime in your pocket or not, you know never, ever. I'm standing on never, ever. So my water bill came. I don't even know how they double up on me like that. And, you know, it was pretty high. You know what I mean? It was like $500. I'm like, man, let me pay this now. I'm not going to pay peace and then call them and argue for 3 hours. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pay it and be done with it. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I used it. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to go through that series of thought pattern. But what I'm not going to do, so I cleared that out, and this is why my bill was like $100. But what I didn't realize is that I had like the billing cycles went a certain kind of way where they don't bill me on the 30th of the month, they bill me on the 21st of the month. That's why I missed it, because I usually pay it at the end of the month. They changed that on me. So I had two bills in one. So rather than me saying, well, let me put 100 in, I just paid it. Done, it's over with. Now this month I'm breathing. This month I got a peace of mind. I look at that situation as temporary. But what a lot of us do is we stretch out those temporary situations because we won't sacrifice. Now, when I paid that, my bank account went to zero. And then I had to trust God. It went right back up the next couple days. That's how it works. It's in God's economy, that's how it works. And a lot of you think that just because you're on a fixed income, I ask you who fixed it, that God can't work miracles and pour money into your bank account. He can do that. And I got testimonies about that, where you were paying a bill. You paid your car for 5 years. Now, let me ask a question real quick. Where is your car note money? Oh, she my budget. No, but listen, you had it for 5 years. So this is what stewardship is about. This is what managing it about is about. You paid off your car, take that money. You had it in your possession every month. You may have been late a couple months, but they ain't took your car from you. So that means you paid it. Anybody else? Questions? This takes spiritual discipline. Okay, but it's believing that one scripture. Never. That's what I hold on to. Never, ever. God said he'll, when it comes down to me loving money, that means I got to release it. And I can't dig a hole because I'll always be digging myself out of a hole.